Well, as we think of the great truths that were presented this morning, we are rejoicing that the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross paid for man's sin, that he rose again, and that he is in heaven today. You know, as we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a number of verses in the book of Hebrews, we'll turn there as we begin this morning. Talk about our living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 14. It tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest in heaven. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Here the scripture is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. As he rose from the dead, he entered into heaven, and there in heaven he is mankind's high priest. In Hebrews chapter 9, we find that same great truth about the resurrection of the Lord and that he is alive today in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 23, it says, "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these," speaking of the Old Testament priesthood. "For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." The Lord Jesus Christ arose as the living Savior. And he is the living Savior today in heaven as mankind's high priest. The Bible says, verse 25, "Not yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation." And so here's the Lord Jesus has entered into heaven. He has presented his blood as the payment of our sin before the very throne of God in heaven. And the Bible tells us that those who look for him, the living Savior, to come again, he will receive them unto himself. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Died on Calvary's cross. Paid the penalty for man's sin. On the third day, he rose again. He later ascended into heaven, presented his blood before the Father. The Bible tells us that he got to heaven, and what did he do? He sat down. He sat down because the work was done. The payment for sin was completed. It's all been done. It was accepted by the Father. Verse number 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of this, these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, to enter boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Here we have in Hebrews some great instances of how the Lord Jesus Christ entered into heaven to fulfill his role as the payment of our sin, fulfilling the types of the Old Testament. And as the priest in the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement took the blood of the lamb and put it on the altar one time a year for the nation of Israel. That was a picture, the Bible tells us, of the one time that the Lord Jesus Christ would die on the cross and present his blood in heaven itself for us. As Jesus rose from the dead, he now enters into the role of the mediator between God and man. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he is the living high priest. The Bible tells us that that as the living high priest, he says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. As a living high priest, the Bible says the point on a man wants to die and then cometh the judgment. And those, the Bible says, and those who look for him, will he appear the second time without sin? Without sin. You know, we have a living Savior. He not only paid the penalty of our sin, but he rose again. He is the living high priest. And he is coming again. He is coming again. You know what a great day that we celebrate today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all the Bible is built upon the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He came to die. He rose from the dead to become man's high priest. And he is the living high priest of those who know him as Savior. I was thinking of that great resurrection chapter this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'd like to just read a few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and direct you to turn to that. And because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we are able once again to stand again. We will once again begin to be able to stand. All those that are dead in Christ will rise. Those that are alive and remain under his coming shall be caught up together with him. But it talks about here the resurrection points out some important truths that I would like us to think about this morning. Verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, this passage says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to just take that truth and apply it in a very special way today, because maybe you are here today and you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And as we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I would like us to think about what you are missing by not knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. What you are missing. You know, we live in a world which certainly makes a mockery of Jesus Christ, makes a mockery of living a godly life, makes a mockery of the things of God, makes a mockery of holiness. But you know, I remember one time Mr. Griffin was out soul winning, and I said to him after, how'd it go? And he says, well, you know, I was talking to a fellow today, and he said, well, he said he didn't really need the Lord. But I told him, someday you will. Someday you will. Everybody someday will need the Lord. A lot of people, they don't think they need the Lord. But someday everybody will need the Lord. But I like to think about why everybody ought to have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior today. What you are missing if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Notice this passage of Scripture. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a living Savior, risen from the dead, has given and offers man victory over sin. Victory over sin. You know, you need Jesus Christ today, because Jesus Christ is the only one who can give you victory over sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Do you realize the Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, if a person is unsaved, they have not repented of their sin, turned from their sin, accepted by faith Jesus Christ as their only means of salvation, and been born again. You know what? The Bible says, you are separated from God. You are separated from God. You are separated from His power. You are separated from His blessing. You are living apart from God. You're living on your own. That's serious. No, a lot of religion tries to make people feel religious and tries to deceive them to think that they are having some kind of fellowship with God. But that is a lie. But Jesus Christ gives us victory over sin. And the first victory over sin is that He brings us into fellowship with God. The living God, through Jesus Christ, comes to live with a person's life when they know Jesus Christ. You know, before I was saved, I remember one time, they had a sermon at Carroll College in Waukesha. I was a Presbyterian. And Carroll College is so-called a Presbyterian college. They had this famous preacher come. And the sermon was, God is dead. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't think God's dead. But I can't prove that He's alive. He's certainly not alive in my life. I don't know that He's alive. And the fact was, I didn't know God because my sin had separated me from God. Oh, I could know religion and I could say little tiny prayers, but I didn't know God personally. You know, why would a person want to live separated from God? Why would a person want to live without fellowship with God? Why would a person want to live in such a way that their sin was between them and God? What a terrible life compared to coming to Jesus Christ. That barrier of sin can be gone. You can have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Wow, victory over sin. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ not only gives us victory over the penalty of sin, which is separation from God now. And of course, a part of that result of sin is a guilty conscience. You know, most people don't want to do much thinking today because they don't want to think about their sin. They don't want to think about their sin. You know, people, we're at the university campus, and what we've noticed is that the ones who are committing a lot of sin decide that they're an atheist. You know why? That's their solution to their guilt. But as we read those passages today in the Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ delivers us from the guilt of sin, clears our conscience. Whoa. You could spend $20 million at a psychologist trying to get your conscience clear, but it would never work, would it? Give you all these pills so you can kind of become dead to your thinking. Wouldn't do one good bit of good. Wouldn't take any guilt. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from the guilt of a bad conscience. Victory. Victory. He victory over the power of sin. Romans 6 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. You know, a lot of people don't think about this. But you know, especially unsaved people, they don't think about that. They don't even have a comprehension about it. That because Jesus rose from the dead, if they would accept Him as their Savior, He can give them victory over all their sin. Wow. That's great. I just love reminding myself of the testimony of that I heard recently of a lady in the Cameroon. And she was accepted Christ in January when a team went over there and from Falls Baptist and heard her testimony. And she said this. I am so excited that I know I have the risen Savior living in my heart. And that means I know I can have victory over every sin that I face. Wow. Isn't that great? Victory over sin. You didn't have to pay $500,000 to any organization to get you victory. Just come to Jesus Christ. Victory over sin. The Bible says He saves them to the uttermost who come to God through Him. You know, I realize that a lot of people in the world, they just love their sin. But if they would try to get rid of their sin, they would know that they couldn't get rid of it. It's more powerful than them. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He rose from the dead, He is victorious over sin. Victory over sin. Wow. Victory over death. Victory over death. You know, for a believer, death isn't the end. It's just the beginning. The Apostle Paul said, for me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Wow. That's just the beginning. The Bible says, the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, a lot of people try not to think about death. But you know, death is real. I mean, death is real. And I can't tell you what it's like because I haven't been there. But it's real. But the Bible says something that's really wonderful. It says, the believer, though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, if you see your shadow, it's just a shadow. It's not really you. You know, Charles Spurgeon, one time he was preaching at night somewhere and walking home, and he was walking down the road, and this through this section there was known to be some thieves and robbers, and he was walking and he saw this man in the shadows. He thought he saw a man, and he thought it was a thief. And he was a little bit, afraid. And so he didn't know what to do. So he ran over and grabbed that man. It was just an oak tree. It was the shadow of the oak tree that had, confused him. But you know, for a believer, none of us here have faced it. Death is nothing. Death is the gateway to heaven. Death is a glorious day. Get to be in the very presence of our Savior. Oh boy, but if you aren't saved, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. Because death for you is real. It's a day of darkness. It's the day of condemnation. It's the day that your worst of thoughts would ever come true. Because it's the day a man or woman or child would enter into condemnation. You know, death came because Adam sinned. For as by one man sin came into the world, and death, for as by one man's sin came into the world, and death by sin, for that all have sinned. God didn't create man to die physically. God created man to live forever physically. But death came into the human race because Adam and Eve sinned. And today every one of us are going to die. And that physical death is coupled with even more serious death, and that's eternal death. And the Bible says, and whosoever was not found and written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But you know, for a believer, oh, what does it say? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Wow. Victory over the grave. Think about that. It's just really amazing thing to think about that, you know, when we die and we're put in a grave, there's nothing we could do to raise ourselves out of that grave, is there? Nothing. Nothing. But the Bible says, there's the hour is coming in which the Lord Jesus will call out, and all that hear his voice shall stand again. Wow. That's pretty glorious, isn't it? That's pretty glorious. The Bible says it is sown a corruptible, it is raised incorruptible. It is only possible through Jesus Christ. The tomb is empty. Confucius, his tomb, he's still in there. This hasn't been robbed. Buddha, he's still in his tomb. I don't know if they even have a tomb. They probably burnt them because he was supposed to reincarnate it somehow. Maybe he came back as a frog or something. I don't know. But you know, Muhammad's tomb, wherever it is, he's still there. But Jesus' tomb is empty. Had victory over the grave. Victory over death. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's not just merely a nice fact. It's one the most important truth of all of human history. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Victory in life. You know, what's it saying? Our life's going to be over someday. And for the believer, they're going to stand before Jesus Christ. They're going to stand again. He's saying, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Don't live your life like unsaved people. Unsaved people live as though there's not a resurrection. But there is a resurrection. And he said, and at that resurrection, there's a reward for those who live for Jesus Christ. You know, my wife's brother-in-law tells a story. His grandma Beatty got saved as an 18-year-old girl. And she married an unsaved man. And having married an unsaved man, I don't know the whole story, but she didn't serve God with her life. She didn't serve God with her life. And at 76, on her deathbed, she said to her grandson, I wasted my whole life. I've done nothing for God my whole life. I spent my whole life accomplishing nothing for eternity. But the Lord tells us there is a resurrection. There is a living Savior. There is eternity. We will look Jesus Christ in the eye. And he said, live your life serving God. Live your life doing the will of God. Live your life because there is a world that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Live your life serving God. Your labor is not in vain in Him. That's a sobering thought. Important thought. We ought to live, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we ought to live like He is risen. We ought to live that the most important message that all the world could ever hear is that Jesus Christ died, and He's buried, and He rose again, and He can give them eternal life. He can give them victory over sin. He can give victory over the grave. He can give them victory over death. As we think about the Lord Jesus, we were talking about last night, the resurrection, and what an important holiday it was. But you know, we also talked about the fact that for a person who is saved, every day is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every day, because we walk with a resurrected Savior. And every day that Savior is living in us. And every day we find victory over sin in Him. Every day we have a relationship with a resurrected Savior. Isn't that great? The song said, I serve a risen Savior. Wow. You know, it's one thing to know about it. It's another thing to experience it. Amen? Do you remember the day that you accepted Jesus Christ and you passed from death unto life? Wow. Experiencing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every day, as we go to the Word of God and as we look into faith to the Lord Jesus Christ to live His life for that new life we have in Him, we are rejoicing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every day, we can be thinking of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As you think about your life, think about it. Jesus rose from the dead. And we'll stand before Him. And even though the world says it is foolish, foolish, foolish to waste your life and live for God, let me tell you what. In that day, Jesus is reminding us it will be worth it all. Your labor is not in vain in Him. Let's pray together. As we close the service, Father, we thank You today for the great reminder that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And Lord, we stand here today. I pray that, Lord, those that are here that only know about the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a religious fact, a religious story. Lord, I pray that somehow they would have begun to realize that they can know a resurrected Savior personally. And that, Lord, that they are missing out on life. They are missing out so very much by not knowing and receiving Christ into their life as their Savior. Might they, Lord, realize it is the most foolish thing in the world to delay, to put it off, to think that they maybe do it some other day or that it's not important. Help them to see, Lord, what they are missing, the victory in Jesus Christ, the cleansing that's in Jesus Christ, the new life that is in Jesus Christ, the purpose that is in Jesus Christ. All these things that are missing in their life, but they can have them if they would turn from their sin, even today, to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You know, Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. He's alive. He's ready to save you if you will turn to him. And you're here today and you say, you know, I need to turn to Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need to receive the resurrected Savior as the one to give me new life, victory, cleansing from sin, fellowship with God, a home in heaven. And today is the day that I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. God is speaking about your heart about that. You say, Pastor Edwards, God is stirring my heart about my need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me today? Anyone here today, just lift up your hand wherever you might be. I'm not saved. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And God is stirring my heart that today I ought to receive him as my Savior. What better day to do it than on Resurrection Sunday? Say, Pastor, pray for me. Anyone here today, wherever you might be, raise that hand. Okay, I see that little hand. Okay. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. You're not saved. You need to be. Maybe you're here today. You say, you know what? I'm a Christian. But you know what? God is speaking to me about the fact that I can have victory in Christ. And I needed that message today to realize that I can have victory in my life as a Christian because Jesus rose from the dead. And that great truth is that truth that you needed to hear today, that I can have victory because Jesus rose from the dead. Say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken my heart today. I realize that I can leave this place today with victory in my life because Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And he's live today. Anyone here today, God is speaking to you about that very important truth. Amen. Amen. And others. Okay. Lord, now I pray that you'd bless, even as we sing the song of invitation, and pray that the word of God that we've heard today would be a blessing, and that people would know the Lord Jesus Christ as their living Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.